Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, your day, that you have set apart for us to come and worship in truth and in spirit. May your name be lifted up above all the earth, above all the universe, and even in this place. Father, we thank you for bringing us all together. And pray for those who are traveling this week, and for all of us who may not be able to come today, just bless them nonetheless. But for those who come here, Father, we ask you a favor and your special anointing upon all of us so that we truly understand the gospel of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the favor of God through Jesus, your Son. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Barrier is defined as a fence or other obstacle that prevents movement or access. A barrier is also defined as a circumstance or obstacle that keeps people or things apart or prevents communication or progress. Have you experience the barriers others set for you, which you cannot do much about it? You may feel that it's unfair for you, and perhaps you are frustrated with such situations. And you may even set the barriers for others. There may be certain people with whom you do not wish to get involved. This may be racial, cultural, or even political barriers. Whether others set for you or you set for others, there can be many barriers in our life. And I think we need to be set free from all those barriers of our life. So today we are going to see another spectacular aspect of Jesus. Jesus is the barrier breaker. Jesus wants to remove all the barriers so that he can come to know you and have fellowship with you. To that end, would you please turn with me to chapter 4 of John's Gospel? We are going to read verses 1 through 9. John chapter 4, 1 through 9. Here's word of God. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, and although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." This episode captures the move of Jesus from Judea into Galilee. Jesus did not want to keep staying in Judea because of the controversy about the baptism, as you see in verse 1. So he decided to quit his ministry in Judea for the time being and move to Galilee, his hometown and the mission headquarters, according to verse 3. So that's the background. I think we need to pay attention to verse 4. Verse 4 says, he had to pass through Samaria. He had to pass through Samaria. This is very short commentary of John himself. But I think we need to pay attention to this. He had to. This had to is in a Greek manuscript. It's called dei, D-E-I, in Greek word, which can be rendered as necessary. So verse 4 can be rendered as, it was necessary for Jesus to pass through Samaria. This necessary too is called the divine infinitive. A lot of times when Jesus said must, this Greek word they was used in many times in the New Testament. For instance, Jesus said, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? In Luke 24, 26, was it not necessary? He used that same divine infinitive they. And Luke 9:22, Jesus also said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. And Mark 13:10, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. So this divine infinitive day can be rendered as have to, or must, or it is necessary. So Jesus had a clear intention to go through Samaria en route to Galilee. It was not out of his compulsion that Jesus wanted to go through land of Samaria. Rather, it was his will, his intention, his purpose that he should go through Samaria with his disciples. So let us think about some implication here behind Jesus' decision to go through Samaria. If you know Israel, Israel is a very short country. It's only 120 miles from south to north. At the very south, the region is called Judea, where the mainstream, Jewish nation, culture and religion and temple were all located in Jerusalem. And the far north call is Galilee. And in between Judea and the Galilee, in the middle, that is called Samaria. What is wrong for Jesus to go through Samaria? The people who lived in Samaria was called the Samaritans. And Jewish people despised the Samaritans as the mixed race who compromised their religious and cultural purity. They were unclean from the Jewish perspective. Why is that? We need to spend some time to understand this background, to understand the implication of Jesus going through the Samaria. As you know, Israel was divided into Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. There was a lot of rivalry with the 10 tribes versus 2 tribes. Northern Kingdom is called 10 tribes, and the Southern Kingdom is called 2 tribes, and mainly Judah. A tribe of Judah was the one of the 12 tribes, but they had a lot of issues with Northern Kingdom called Israel and Southern Kingdom, the Judah. So the rivalry has existed for hundreds of years. But when Assyria had taken the Northern Kingdom, Samaria, in 720 before Christ, the Assyrians imported many Gentiles from Babylon into Samaria while taking captive some Samaritans into the Northern Kingdom. So they basically tried to mingle the race. It was their strategy to conquer, to basically dismiss the racial purity of all the regions they are controlling over. So this situation had lasted for more than 200 years. To think about it, this means, they were mixed for many, many generations. They became almost a different race, after 200 years. This intermarriage was an unforgivable crime in the mind of the southern people, the Judah, because they kept their ethnic purity and their religious purity. So the Samaritans lost their ethnic purity. As they lost their ethnic purity, they also lost their religious loyalty to the scripture. They only take the first five books of Moses, called known as Pentateuch, as their scripture. They dismiss the rest of the Old Testament back then. So not only they lost their ethnic purity, they also lost their religious identity as the Jews. So in the eyes of the Orthodox Judaism, losing a racial identity was like death. You know, in strict Jewish household, if a son or daughter marries a Gentile, his or her funeral service is carried out. I heard that even these days, in the real strict Jewish household, they don't allow, you know, their children to marry non-Jewish people. So the Samaritans were the lost 10 tribes of Israel, basically. The hostility and bitterness between the Jews and the Samaritans had lasted more than 100 years in Jesus' time. So to get to Galilee from Judea, from south to north, the shortest route was obviously to go through Samaria. But the most Jews did not want to take that shortest path simply because they would be ritually unclean by passing the land of Samaria in Jesus' time. So it was forbidden by the Jewish law. And the other route was from Judea to Galilee was to cross the Jordan and go up the east side of the Jordan River to avoid the land of Samaria and recross the Jordan north of Samaria, then enter into Galilee. This route took two times longer, but the pious Jews would rather take that long route to avoid ritual uncleanness by passing through Samaria. So that's the historical backdrop behind this story. So it was a complete surprise that Jesus, a Jew, had decided to go through Samaria. Jesus is breaking down this racial barrier, this religious barrier, this cultural barrier. This move of Jesus is the first record in the gospel that Jesus and his disciples indeed landed in Samaria. So this was a historical moment, historical move. There is no barrier that gospel of Jesus cannot break, and there is no race the gospel of Jesus cannot reach. No matter who you are loved by Jesus. And no matter who they are loved by Jesus as well. And there is no one in this world who is excluded from the love of God. And God's love is indeed universal. That's why Jesus came to this world. Now let us look at our text, verses 5 and 6. He came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph, and Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. You know, these two verses reveal several points about Jesus' character. First of all, it was about the humanity of Jesus. You know, Jesus was a real person. Just as you and me, he was weary and thirsty with the journey. Jesus is fully God and fully human. Being the equality with God, with his Father, he descended from heaven to earth to come to us. So the God Almighty had limited himself to be just like you and me. Therefore, he would be able to understand our struggles and stresses to the full, as he himself went through those moments while he was on the earth. I don't know what kind of struggles, what kind of issues do you face these days. Jesus knows them and wants to help you. So in this story, I think still the biggest barrier that Jesus broke is not just racial, cultural, or religious barrier, but the barrier that existed between God and humanity. There's a big barrier. In order to understand humanity, Jesus became a human. There was once a good king who loved his people very much. And he dedicated his life to serving his people. But he had a hard time understanding exactly what they were going through. You see, this king was born into a royal family, so he always knew that he would be king. And he never had to cut wood with the woodcutter or work in the field like the farmers. It was so hard for him to really understand what it was like to be a regular person in his kingdom. So one day, this king decided to become a peasant himself. And he laid down his crown and give up all the power so he could work like the workers in the field and struggle through life like those who lived in his kingdom. So the king told his guard and his nobleman, "Today, you see me for your last time, for many years." Good king, why do you say that? They asked. Are you going to go to a foreign country? The king replied, "No, I am going out amongst my subjects. I am going to become a peasant." His guards and noblemen were amazed. Why would the king become a peasant? You know, why should he care what others have to go through? He will always be a king. So what does it matter to him how others live? It was hard for them to understand, but the king's mind was made up, and the good king left the castle and lived in disguise among the peasants so he could understand his people better. The king loved his people, and he wanted to understand their needs and wishes, so he became one of them. You know, Jesus being God has become just like one of us. Jesus was tempted like us. Jesus suffered like us. Jesus wept at times like us, and he even died like us. He did not have to do any of that. He was God, but because he loves us so much, he decided to know exactly what it was like to be one of us. You know, that's why I believe the biggest barrier Jesus broke is the barrier between God and humanity. And Jesus breaks down all human barriers as well, political, cultural, racial, you name it. He would come to any person. He would make himself available for you and me and even the person you might despise. Now let's look at verses 7 and 8. "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman who came to the well of Jacob to draw water. "Give me a drink." Why would Jesus need to ask for water? According to this episode, Jesus was sitting. Jesus was sitting at the well. And well was right there. Why wouldn't he take the water by himself? Why Jesus had to ask a Samaritan woman to give him a water? The well of Jacob is still preserved in Israel, and the depth of the well is 135 feet, which is 42 meters. I don't know how tall is this building, but it's not 135 feet, right? Much less, right? So that well is so deep. In Israel, there is no bucket. You bring your own bucket. You know, bring your own bucket, BYOB, basically. So Jesus didn't have buckets for sure. He was a traveler. So he had to wait someone to come. And this Samaritan woman showed up with a bucket for sure. That's why Jesus asked for the water, so that this lady can use her own bucket to draw water to Jesus, for Jesus. So that explains. Jesus did not have a bucket to draw water for himself, but there are very deep implications as Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman, much more deeper than the depths of the well itself. The person to whom Jesus talked was not only a Samaritan but also a woman. What's wrong with that? We talk, different gender, people talk to each other. You can talk to your woman colleague if you're a man, vice versa. There's nothing wrong, right? So from our perspective, it's hard to understand, but we need to understand some background as well. The strict rabbi would never do this. The strict rabbi might not even speak to his own wife or daughter or sister in public. That was the culture in Jesus' time. But Jesus did. Jesus spoke to a woman in public. Although he was a rabbi, he was regarded as a rabbi. But there's more. Jesus knew that this Samaritan woman was also immoral, sinful, and dirty person who had multiple partners in her relationship. When Jesus said he must go through the land of Samaria, I believe Jesus' purpose was to meet up this particular woman there. And Jesus did not just come to the world to save all of us as a wholesale. He met very different kinds of people, one at a time. And especially Samaria is the place where it's tabooed. Jewish people would never go through, but he did. And each person matters to him. He did not treat the whole Samaritan as a wholesale, but he had a universal mission that impacts the whole humanity, but he would not do that without meeting one person at a time. So that's why Jesus was taking his journey to Samaria to meet up this particular woman who lived in a sinful life in an unclean country. So that's why what it means Jesus had to go through Samaria. Look at verse 9. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? And for Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." I think this commentary explains so well, and this lady was so shocked that Jewish man, talked to her. The word of Jesus made her wonder who this man is. Why would this man be interested in me? Why this Jewish man interested in me if he knew, who I was? The text tells us that this woman came to the well at 6 hour. You know what 6 hour means? 6 plus 6. Whenever you see the New Testament, the hour, you just add 6 to translate to our own time, which is 12 noon. 12 noon in Palestine is so hot. It's like Texas summer, 12. Think about that. And no one would come to draw water at 12. But this lady was coming to draw water at 12. Why? The later story tells us that she had a quite unethical, immoral, and sinful life, having 5 partners in the past, and the one who lives with her is not her husband. So Jesus knew it. Jesus knows everyone, right? And he knew her particular circumstance. That's why she came to the well at the time in which no one would come to draw water because it's so hot. But anyhow, but Jesus is the one who was there and then asked her. So that conversation was shocking to her. Why would this man be interested in me? And one thing we need to understand is Jesus is a relational Messiah. You know, he breaks down the barriers to meet you and me as a person, just as he broke all religious, cultural, and racial barriers to meet up this Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Relational, one at a time, one person at a time he wanted to meet. You know, there is no barrier Jesus cannot break down for all of us. Today we talked about many barriers, barriers between God and humanity, he broke it down. And the racial barrier, he broke it down. And cultural barrier, he broke it down. And political barrier, he broke it down. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, Jesus would like to talk to you. Whether you are, you know, white or, you know, black or Asian, he'll talk to you. Whether you are rich or poor, Jesus actually has shown that he tried to reach every kind of social, ethnic, social strata. And he did not have any political barrier as well. You know, any person is a valuable person to be saved, according to him. So Jesus has genuine interest in our life. He wants to build up a relationship with us, and he will give us love, hope, and the meaning of life. The real good news is that Jesus is not a God who only sits in his throne and waits. He came down to approach to you and me to show his sympathy, kindness, and love for you and me. Jesus is for you. With Jesus with you and for you, there is nothing in this world that can lock you up. No barrier is too strong to be torn down. Jesus is the barrier, barrier breaker for all of us. Let us pray. Father, thank you that it is your will that you sent your Son, so that we know that there is no barrier that is too strong between you and us. Thank you for your Son who had torn down all the barriers possible we can imagine, so that he would come into our life to live in us, and we live in him. Thank you for this unity, and thank you for this openness. Thank you for this sympathy and kindness and affection of God. You know, whatever struggles and issues that we may go through today, we know that those are not, those are literally nothing compared to love and acceptance and sympathy and kindness of Jesus rendered for each one of us. We thank you for that. Let Jesus be truly the source of our strength. And we thank you for the work of Jesus to each one of us in this room. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
constant grace remains the cornerstone. The things that we've thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your sun to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out a love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. The hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have lost was found its place in you. You lift the weary head. You make us strong instead. You took these rags and make us beautiful. Done, we will pour out a love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Lord Jesus, you are truly, you know, beautiful, and you know, you are the person that we don't want to miss. So, Holy Spirit, pour out your anointing upon each one of us to really be able to trust this God and man, Jesus Christ. There is no fear that can keep us. There is no anxiety or worry or the need that cannot be provided by Jesus our Lord. And His grace is sufficient for all. May our every moment be the moment of dedication and trust this God-man, Jesus Christ, the barrier breaker of our life. We thank you. May the grace of Jesus, our Lord and Christ, and the love of God who is in heaven, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.